The club was in, was concerned with athletic, well, with strengthening a body, the whole body, and it was done by means of a form of dancing. You had rhythm provided by a certain Mrs. Mean for many years, and we all danced on 2 feet to the front, one to the front, one to the back. Then after about 10 of those, the same to the side, and so on. All kinds of activities done on the move, jumping up and down, if you see what I mean, plunky, 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 plunk, sort of thing. And that was one of the main activities. And then after that, we would get out the things like the horse and the box and do exercises on those. We used to turn somersaults, we were helped. It was very carefully controlled, everything. There wasn't any indiscipline or anything like that. And if you were going to run up to the box and do a somersault over it, there was someone to make sure your head went in the right place and you kept on going, sort of thing. And that was another aspect of it. Now, the boxing, I knew little about that because I'm a fairy, basically. I don't like getting punched on the nose. And I also attribute to being able to breathe on one side of my nose better than the other because somebody punched me on the nose. I used to do a bit of boxing. My brother did. He won a cup or something once because his opponent didn't turn up. And he was about as thrilled about boxing as I was. So it was a very short-term thing for me. The boys' club also, we did a sort of game of handball where you couldn't pick the ball off the ground, and you weren't supposed to lift it off the ground. It was all about brushing the ball about on the floor and pushing it about to people. That was quite good fun. Now, what else did we do in the Maggie's Boys Club since we got onto this athletic dancing that we did, the gymnastics, somersaults. Some of them were able to do somersaults, that sort of thing. And of course, there was, first of all, they gave shows to display all these various things that they could do, boxing as well. Sometimes tournaments between ourselves and the Pear Tree Boys Club, and probably mostly against them, just competitions. Well, I remember boxing taking place, let me see, I think I go back to Lawrence Hall. It certainly was in St Francis Church Hall when there was only a hall. That was a very useful building, which was wonderful for the scout, for everybody. Had a stage, rooms to the side of it with the kitchen, rooms to the back, just what scouting and cubs and people needed, all these different places, so we could have badminton in the main room, table tennis in the side rooms, or listen to music in the side room. Yes, well, I should say that there were a large number of boys. I've got a photograph of 80 in one picture, and we had an annual camp, which I only got involved in a small number of those. I don't know why it was. Possibly it clashed with my parents, who used to go down to Weymouth every year. So I recall going to World's Next to the Sea. That was about 1938. I recall going to Royden Mill, which was near Broxbourne on the River Lee. And I only know that there were Havoc. A plane called a Havoc was developed during the war, so it's just in early into the war. And it was experimented with various things, a big gun in the front or a big light in the front. The idea to try and pick people out at night, pick German bombers out at night. I don't think it was successful at all. But I remember they were going on over our campsite when we were at Royden Mill. It's either 41 or 42 when German planes were about. It was very interesting. That's very interesting. Just off the River Lee was a pond, a nice big pond in which we could swim. And an unfortunate thing happened once because some idiots would throw bottles, and one of our lads fell on a bottle, and he had to be carried. The whole group was out there, carried this lad back, dripping, to the boss, who whipped him off to hospital quickly. I never knew what happened to his toes. And the next holiday I remember, was at West Bay. Now that is between Bridport and the sea in Dorset. Now that, I thought, that was 1939, whereas this other previous occasion was in fact about 1942, somewhere about there. Because I remember waking up one morning and seeing destroyers off the coast at the campsite, and thinking, somebody tried to persuade me that that wouldn't have been 39, but I thought it was. I might be wrong, it may have been 38, because Bridport is near to Portland and the Navy was based, a lot of the Navy was based on Portland. I happened to have a relation down there in Bridport itself who was a baker, and we got hot rolls brought down to the camp in the morning, which was all allowed and very good. They were there, I understand that they went on every year, about a week. And I think they invariably went down. I think they went on coaches. To be honest, I can't remember. I can't even remember this. In the same time in parallel, I was with scouts. And what was really... I haven't really said much about the scouts, but we used to go from Wellingham City to Barnswood, which is near the Welling Tunnels. And it's an estate, somebody's estate there. And Nedworth Park. And so we used to manage to get from Wellingham City with a trek cart. That is a flat truck with big wheels and like a lead at the front, so a tow bar sort of thing. And we had several camps there. And things that I remember is on one occasion it was what they call a patrol weekend, camping weekend. I bought some nice green corduroy trousers because I liked green and I wanted to be different, of course. So we set out from Wellingham City to St Francis Hall with our tents and billies and things like that in the evening of Friday. And we went down over the White Bridge, and then there was a long curving road underneath the viaduct, no houses or anything like that, down to the Mimram Bridge, then up the hill into where Barnes Wood was. Now, it was still raining when we got there, and there really wasn't much we could do. We couldn't light fires. It was just raining, considerably. But we stuck the night out. We put our tents up, and some of them were two-man tents, and two little kids like us could hardly keep off the outside of the tent. So we managed to stay the night in these tents, and we got up. I don't remember us having anything to eat at all. There just wasn't any future in this game. So we packed it all up and came straight back to Wellingham City, passing on the way, sadly, one or two hutches that the person who owned the land had put in with little ducks, and they were drowned because the water was so high. Anyway, we came back to Wellingham City, and when I got back, of course, my legs were green because the green went out of the trousers into my legs. And I never suffered from that, but that I went had happier camps. We had a wonderful camp in the Bluebell time. Reverend Pollard was a curate at St Francis. He ran the scouts from its inception, as far as I remember it, as far as I know about it. And we were camping in Barnswood, and we had and the vicar, Arthur Watkins, wonderful chap, he brought communion to us. So we set up a table in the Bluebells, we sat around in the Bluebells, and we had this wonderful communion service, which is, you know, part of our church life. And the only incident was that a sparrowhawk, we think it was because other birds don't do what a sparrowhawk does, suddenly swooped down near us, grabbed a rabbit and was away. With a squealing. I remember that so well. But it was otherwise a lovely, beautiful day. And so anyway, so Pollard got the scouts. It was the first was Wellingham City Troop. There was a second troop, which I think was St Michael's on the other side of town. I can't remember the third. We were the fourth. Fourth Wellingham City Troop, St Francis. And we had maroon neckties. I think they still have maroon neckties today. Well, I'd been in the Cubs before that. But I can't tell you much about that. I remember I know Miss Barnard, who lived in Longcroft Lane, but I can't remember much about that. I remember going to the scout shop in about 1936, something around about there, 37, to the scout shop in Gray's Inn Road, which I believe is still there, and getting myself a staff, or stave, whatever you might call it, a hat, my neckerchief and shirts and things. I remember going with my mother to get all that array. I mean, today, can you imagine coming home with a nearly 6 foot pole? That's what scouts had in those days.
So you had a hat, didn't you?
We had a lovely hat which kept the sun off and the rain off, but of course they can't have things like that these days. No, they were very, very good. You could fanfares with them. And in the latter days of that St Francis troop, in those days, which I think petered out towards just before the end of the war, I have some photographs, because the curate went into the Navy. Arthur Watkins left and a different person came in, Geoffrey Keeble. So the thing, the Scouts were reliant on two elder boys, Mike Frankton and Maurice Murphy, son of the Murphy chap, Murphy Radio. Two super chaps. Anyway, we carried on with our scouting activities, which meant going up into Sherwoodswood, doing tracking, going and hiding in a pit somewhere with a length of wire and sending Morse messages to one another and that sort of thing. I wasn't one of those because I could only remember about five letters, but we did it. And we did semaphore signalling in Sherwoodswood. We did tracking in Sherwoodswood. Sherwoodswood was another story for me. I spent my life in Sherwoodswood as well, if I can have any left, other than that which I've already explained. We got up in the rhododendrons. The trick was never to get down on the ground. So we just climbed about like monkeys all over these, inside these things for you. I mean, there was a gang from Gessens Road associated with Mackie's Boys Club, and the only way I survived partly was because we also belonged to Mackie's Boys Club. So when we met them, when we heard them, we used to lay low. But if they found us, there was always, we better not interfere with them, sort of thing. But there were different. There were certainly several gangs we used to go out there. Have wonderful times. As far as the Scouts are concerned, I was in the St Francis Troop, which was started, so far as I know, by a gentleman who was the curate at the time, Reverend Gilbert Pollard. And we started from there. We had several patrols, and we did the usual things that Scouts do, which meant learning how to do knots, learning semaphore, learning Morse. Always, of course, telling us that we should behave ourselves in a decent sort of way, which was all about the teachings of various groups in those days. We spent a lot of all our time was spent in St Francis Hall, St Francis Church Hall, and we played a certain amount of games. We went up into Sherwood's Woods and used the woods as a means of maybe setting a track by means of sticks and things, so people had to follow the track, or you learned the skills of camouflage and moving about. We also used holes which were in the sandy, flinty soil in parts near where the rhododendrons were. We could get in there, stretch a length of wire of a couple of hundred yards across, and send a Morse message to somebody in the other one. Somebody understood something or other, but we used the wood for all the sort of scouting, all the scouting activities. But we weren't able to light fires, which became one of my great skills, lighting fires. In the Scouts, since I think started about, well, it would be about just before the war, I think when I started in the Scouts, and it didn't last all that long because the troop was formed by Gilbert Pollard, who came in, I think, in about 1940, and he was called up and went into the Navy in about 43. So I think it must have started around about 40, the St Francis Troop. I have got the figure somewhere, but I can't remember. And then as the war went on, so the people that ran it and the different clergy, I think, as far as I know, it would have phased out about 1950, I would think.
And was that when Mr Murphy's son would have been in charge?
Well, he went into the Coastal Command. He and Mike Frankton, who ran the troop after one clergy had gone to a different place, the other was in the Navy. When they went, there was really nobody to run the Scouts that I remember.